Idea of the Iker is the Shirim and the Gina, but to share with you just a short idea that links the parasha together with Yom Tov of Shavuos. First of all, to thank the Ehrenfels for opening their home. Such a beautiful evening, a night of his odorous, a night of Shira, a night of Torah, a night of Achdos. Halavai, just like Klal Yisrael, was ki ish echad belev echad betacht hisahar. We are one people, one nation, when we stood at the base of Har Sinai. So it's an incredible zechus to try to recreate a little bit of that feeling, a little bit of that togetherness on this Erev Shabbos Kodesh, on this Erev Yom Tov, We thank the Ehrenfelds for opening their home and allowing this all to happen. Baruch Hashem, this beautiful bias. So Rabbi Nachman points out two incredible ideas. I'll just tell them to you bekitzer. Closer at the beginning of the parashah in the Kuti Halachas, and the Rebbe picks up on the idea. The Torah begins, Vaidabra Shema Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'o'amoid. And Rabbi Nachman chooses to focus on the question that many of the Mefarshim focus on, which is, why was the Torah given in the Midbar? Right, the Piagetzna, we spoke about this concept last year, the Piagetzna, the Ish Kodesh, discusses this concept in length. In a drasha that he gave in the Warsaw Ghetto in Parshas Bamidbar in 1939, where he discusses this idea, and he says, wouldn't it have made more sense to give the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, to give the Torah ultimately on the Harabayis, to give the Torah in the future, Makom HaMikdash, Be'er HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it in the middle of nowhere. So the Piagetzna explains so beautifully that the whole point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to tell us is that Torah can go anywhere with you. If the Torah would have been given in Eretz Yisrael, you would have thought that you could only have Torah in Eretz Yisrael, that you could only have Torah in Harabayis, that in order to really experience the full profundity of Torah, you need Kiddusha Eretz Yisrael. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He mamish gives it in the middle of nowhere, in a nondescript location, in the middle of nowhere, to remind you that wherever you are, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, or whether you're in the Midbar, whether you're in a spiritual oasis, or whether you're in the middle of nowhere, the Torah HaKadosha is always accessible to us. If you want Torah, if you want the Ribono Shel Olam, He is everywhere and anywhere. And all you have to do is want Him, and even if you can't find Him, He will find you. That was the Piagetzna. But Rabbi Nachman highlights what I think are two incredible Yisodos. I'm going to tell them to you, Bekitzer. He says, first of all, Mashe kiblu es haTorah b'midbar, daiko kilo kiblo haTorah, nechshav kol ha'olam hefker k'midbar. So the Rebbe says something quite beautiful. He says, what's unique about a midbar? What's unique about the midbar, the desert, is that it's hefker. It's ownerless. It's ownerless. No one owns the desert. The desert is the Shasarabim, right? The desert belongs to everyone. It's hefker. So on one hand, you think about the Shasarabim, it's wonderful, it belongs to everyone. The problem is, you know, like, lahavdil, if you have a piece of property that's owned by everyone, so who takes care of it?
No one.
So hefker is wonderful, it belongs to everyone. The problem is, if it belongs to everyone, there's never a balachrayas. There's no one who takes ownership, no one who takes responsibility. So the Rebbe says, the midbar, the desert, is hefker. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah in the desert to create a contrast. He says, my people, you see in life you have a choice. You could either have midbar, or you could have Torah. You could either have hefkerus, you could have Torah. My difference, Torah is not just a system of do's and don'ts, but Torah endows every layer of our lives with incredible profundity and incredible meaning. Torah gives us purpose. Torah gives us direction. You know, on Shavuos we read Mikilas Rus. And again, I'm going to see you got this more over Yontif. But you know, one of the most dramatic shilas in Mikilas Rus is what? One of the most dramatic shilas is, how could it be in the beginning of the Megillah, Perak Aleph, right? Rus is a Moabite princess. She marries into Jewish aristocracy as well. Her father-in-law dies. Her husband dies. She's left with nothing. Naomi, her mother-in-law, is going back to Eretz Yisrael. And what happens? Ruth decides, I'm going with you. And what's the $1 million, Kasha? What's the $1 million question? What are you thinking? Like, what are you doing? Why would you go back with this penniless widow into Eretz Yisrael when Naomi, in full disclosure, tells Ruth, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. There's nothing waiting for you in Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing for you. There's no shidduch for you. There's no parnasa for you. There's no mishpacha for you. There is nothing for you. So why is it that Rus comes back? So I'll share with you Rabbi Yitzchak in just a moment. But based on Rabbi Nachman is saying it so clear. You see, Rus got a little bit of a taste of Torah. Rus got a little bit of a taste of Yiddishkeit. Again, whether they converted or they didn't convert, that's a whole machlokas. But the point is, she married into a Yiddish mishpacha. She married into a Jewish family. She saw her shver, she saw her father-in-law, Elimelech was a great man. She saw Naomi was a great woman. She saw what Torah is. And that little bit of Torah that she saw, she said to herself, I'd rather have this more than anything else in my life. I would rather take this over anything else. Because Rus knew what it was like to live in a midbar. because she grew up in a society of a midbar. And when she saw the opportunity to have direction, when she saw the opportunity to have meaning, she grabbed it. Aye, there's no shidduch, there's no parnasa, there's no mishpacha. If there's Torah, then that's where I'm going to go. We often take our Torah for granted. We often, unfortunately, feel that sometimes the Torah is a bit onerous. Sometimes the Torah imposes all these responsibilities and obligations. But my friends, Torah makes an oasis out of a midbar. It is so easy to get lost in life. It is so easy to lose your way. It's so easy to lose direction. It is so easy to get caught up in the hefkerus of this world. Torah's the lodestar. Torah's the compass. Torah's the GPS. Torah's what keeps us rooted in the Ribono Shel Olam's reality. And that's why what happens, David HaMelech, Rus's great-grandson, says a profound pasuk. He says, Achos sha'alti me'es Hashem, osa avakesh. Ribono Shel Olam, I have one request. What's the one request? Shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. Shifti beveis Hashem. Shifti beveis Hashem. One request. Shifti beveis Hashem. That's all he wants. Shifti beveis Hashem. So the Malbim says, really, David HaMelech, you have nothing else. You don't need parnasa. You don't need mishpacha. You don't need shiduchim for your children. Shifti beveis Hashem. What's shifti beveis Hashem? David HaMelech saying, Ribono Shel Olam, just let me learn your Torah. And if I have your Torah, then I have everything else. Because if I have your Torah, it's not that your Torah is going to solve all of my problems, but your Torah will give me the wisdom. Your Torah will give me the understanding. Your Torah will give me the direction to deal with all of life's challenges, difficulties, and vicissitudes. My friends, life is a midbar. And the only way to navigate out of the midbar is with our Torah HaKedosha. That's lesson number one of Rabbi Nachman. But then the Rebbe goes on and he says something so beautiful. And again, I'm not doing justice to the Rebbe's Torah. I'm just giving you the sound bites. But the Rebbe then goes on and says, "Vaydavra Shema Moshe b'midbar Sinai." What does it mean, b'midbar? He says, "Ki kodem shezochin la'iza his galus b'torah va'avoda." Shezeh bechinas kabbalas haTorah, tzrichin la'avor alav mikodem kama bilbulin usvekos umenios rabos v'taivos utrados ukiyose. The Rebbe says, what does the midbar represent? The midbar represents challenges. You know, in the midbar, like we just said, it's so easy to get lost. And the midbar has scorpions, and the midbar has snakes, and the midbar has extreme weather. And by day the sun is blazing hot, and at night it's freezing, and sometimes it's easy, you're not sure which direction you're going in. The Rebbe says something amazing. Klal Yisrael had to go through the midbar before we got to Har Sinai. And sometimes the path to spiritual fulfillment, the path to Torah, we'll say, is not paved with flower beds on both sides of the road. Sometimes the path to spiritual accomplishment has many potholes, has many hurdles, has many obstacles. And sometimes when you're on that path to finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're finding that path to finding Avinu Shebashamayim, it is so easy to stop and to give up because the road is so arduous. But the Rebbe says, just keep going, because the more difficult, circuitous, and obstacle-laden the path is, that means the closer you are to Har Sinai. The more difficult the challenges are, the closer you are to the Kedusha. And now Rabbi Nachman teaches us these two incredible lessons. On Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Bamidbar, Erev Yom Tov of Shavuos, the Ribono Shel Olam didn't hand us the Torah HaKedusha on a silver platter. He gave it to us Bamidbar to teach us you have to make a choice in life. Is it going to be a midbar, a directionless life, where it's so easy to lose yourself in your taivus and your desires and your wants and your proclivities, where it is so easy to get derailed by all of the things that seek to derail us every single day? Do you going to lose yourself in the hefkerus, or are you going to choose a life of kedusha? And lesson number two that Rebbe teaches us is that you can't just wake up one morning and suddenly stand at the foot of Har Sinai. It's a journey. It's a difficult journey. It's an obstacle-filled journey. But if we find the strength to stay strong and to keep on the journey, we will reach our Har Sinai. So I'm going to say we should be Zelchem Mirat Hashem on this Erev Shabbos, on this Erev Yom Tov, that we should be Zelchem. So many of us have lived in the Midbar for so long. So I feel like sometimes I've gotten so lost in the hefkeiros of life that I don't even know my yomin from small. I don't even know my kaddish from tar. I don't even know my tummy from tar. I don't even know my elyon from tachton. I just lost my way. But Shabbos, Shavuos, is the opportunity to reorient ourselves directionally. This Shabbos, this Yom Tov, is our opportunity to say, Ribono Shel Olam. I'm going to use the words of the Enochal of Rus. Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. I want to get back to my Har Sinai. And Ribono Shel Olam, I know that the path back to Har Sinai, the path back to you, is sometimes not paved and smooth. But it's okay. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how twisty and turny it may be, no matter how circuitous it may be, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm going to stay on that path and I'm not going to leave it until I reach you, until I get back to my Har Sinai, until I get back to Na'aseh v'Nishma. Because Ribono Shel Olam, just like Moshe Rabbeinu stood with you on the top of that mountain, Arboim Yom Va'arboim Laila Lechem Lo Achalti U'Mayim Lo Shasisi. Ribono Shel Olam, I am not a Moshe Rabbeinu. But you see, Moshe Rabbeinu only spent 40 days and 40 nights with you on the top of the mountain. I want to spend the rest of my life with you on the top of the mountain. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know I can do it. I just have to stop living the life of Hefkeiros. I have to start living a life of direction. A life of Har Sinai. A life of where I stay on the path. A life of Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. And I will say, even if we haven't found that path until now, it's Shavuos, it's Shabbos, it's a time of new beginnings. Maybe Zelchem Yeretz Hashem to find the path to Har Sinai, to stay on the path to Har Sinai. And maybe Zelchem Yeretz Hashem b'sha tova u'metzlachos, to say Na'aseh v'nishma together b'karav.
Amen.